Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Earnings season, watching the Fed, and retirement confidence still low can certainly help guide you through that uncertainty if you have some. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joel Kraus, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, of course, you know, it is earnings season, and despite the recent events in Iran, the market continues to move up. You know, what's really happening, folks, is that operating margins are expected to go up almost 20%, somewhere between 15 and 20%. And therefore, a lot of those companies, Brian, are beginning to trade with that information.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why we like looking at a number of different financial metrics when looking at investment opportunities. Those operating margins, we think, are really one of those kind of one of our favorite indicators. If you have to pick one, right? We love them all, just like you love all of your kids. But the operating margins, if you kind of think about what's been happening, all of these cost pressure increases over the years, it's incredible how resilient business profit margins have been. And you think about the increase in oil costs, like as an example, this past week, Procter & Gamble, they reported earnings and they said that if oil prices stay where they are for the duration of the next quarter, it could cost them close to $1 billion extra because of the transportation of the ingredients. Some of the ingredients they use contain petroleum, the packaging, all this, but yet businesses are able to cut costs in other areas and judiciously increase prices on consumers too.
So we're really talking about a couple of things. First of all, people were afraid that the war was going to cause a whole lot of disruption, and maybe it will down the road.
Sure.
We haven't quite seen that yet. And then it could become inflationary down the road. But the markets seem to be looking past that, at least the earnings that they're reporting. Now, let's kind of tear that apart a little bit. We saw what Intel did on Friday morning, opened up 25% to start the day.
Yeah, that was an incredible move up. And Intel has been in the news quite a bit lately. You know, we know that they did have that partnership with the federal government. They've been having these plans to build, I think they're called fabs, or those factories where they make the chips and things. And what they were really reporting is that if you kind of think about artificial intelligence, when they're training those big models, that requires like those NVIDIA GPUs, those graphic processing units. But when you're actually running those models at almost like the consumer and business level, well, that's powered by CPUs. And really, if you think back to, I think, was it in the early 2000s, the Wintel, right? Windows and Intel, right, and it was right. Intel inside. A lot of those computers, right? It's Intel chips or AMD, but there is that big demand now for those CPUs, and that was reflected in what Intel reported.
So CPUs and GPUs, and you're going to learn a lot of stuff. But let's change topics a little bit. We do know that earnings is set up to continue, and not only in this quarter, but the following quarter as well. So that is positive news. And you put that on the back of what's happening with the Federal Reserve. Of course, Kevin Warsh was being grilled this week. He is the person who's expected to be the next Fed chair. And that path kind of opened up a little bit when the Department of Justice dropped their pursuit of the current chairman.
Yes. Yeah, that was interesting. So Senator Tillis, who's on the Senate Banking Committee, he said that he was not going to allow the nomination to go forward for a vote. So the process is he testifies before the Senate Banking Committee, they vote, and then they might allow it to go to the broader Senate for the actual confirmation vote. And so there was that bottleneck, and Senator Tillis said, hey, I'm not going to let this through until this Department of Justice investigation is over. And on Friday, that's what was announced, is that they were going to be dropping that. So those clouds have parted for Kevin Warsh now to actually be confirmed to the chair. And the timing here is pretty good, because Chair Powell, his term is up technically May 15th as chair. He can stay on as governor until like January 2028. And as a result, we don't have to worry then about, are they going to have this like arm wrestling match or play musical chairs to see who gets to sit in the chair, who's the chair of the Fed? I think that would bring some clarity. What I heard from Kevin Warsh from that nomination hearing, not a lot of new information. I think he is very focused on inflation, and it's just a question of, do they need to change their approach to how they combat it? Ever since Ben Bernanke became the chair of the Fed, they really focused on their almost what we call open mouth operations, where they talk. They talk a lot. And Kevin Warsh says, maybe they talk a little too much. Maybe they need to be a bit more circumspect about what they say, because they run the risk of painting themselves into a corner, right? If you say something, people expect you to follow through on it. And he said, maybe we're almost like trying to pre-anticipate what the data is going to be and pre-commit to policies that at the time when you actually make the decision, you shouldn't be making.
Yeah, one of the tools that they have is called jawboning.
Yeah.
And they actually try to talk things into a particular purpose. Certainly interesting when he said he's going to de-emphasize this forward guidance. Now, frankly, I do like the transparency, Brian.
I do too. Yeah.
That when they tell us that, it's easier to kind of forecast if you have kind of an idea. And then, of course, the predicting markets then are pretty good at suggesting where that's going to go as well.
Yeah, maybe we're going to have to rely more on the prediction markets now,
crazy,
as
right?
opposed to all that forward guidance.
Instead of, you remember back in the day when we had a Fed chairman who used to say, how thick is his briefcase?
Yeah.
They would tell you with the direction of what interest rates were going to go.
And I think he became aware of that. Yeah, right. Alan Greenspan, he became aware of it. So he basically like had other people carry his briefcase. Then people looked at the color of his tie. One of my favorite quotes of his was when he was speaking in front of the Senate, I believe it was, and he said, if you think you understood what I said, I must have misspoke.
That's so funny. By the way, he just turned 100 years old, and
that's
most
incredible.
People, yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
And he's married to Andrea Mitchell,
yep.
who, of course, you get to watch on NBC if you so desire. The last piece that we do want to talk about is a lot of people are still concerned about inflation, but there's a lot of money that is sloshing around right now from the federal government. And so that is going to put more money in people's pockets.
It is. We have had a pretty decent tax refund season. People were expecting that, thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. A number of provisions affected the 2025 tax filing. So we did get those types of refunds, which looks like that was a type of stimulus, you know, giving people their money back, that offset some of the higher costs associated with the fuel costs where they are now. And maybe that's part of the reason why, like, the retail sales numbers, they were better than expected. Some of the ISM, the Institute of Supply Management, some of their numbers that I've been seeing was a little bit better. So maybe that was just in time that we had the tax refund season to offset some of these higher gasoline price costs.
And folks, this is the time. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. You can see what the market has done here in the last few weeks. We often talk about not trying to time the market, and this is a perfect example of it. This is the time to have a plan that is thoughtful, that aligns not only your investment plan, but that with the financial plan, estate plan, and tax plan, Joe.
And if retirement is getting closer or you are a few years in, there might be a few things you have questions about. How are these recent headlines we're talking about affecting what you have worked hard for? Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com. Maybe there's something you don't need. Are you paying too much for something? It's a whole team working together in-house who has your best interest in mind on your side at Annex. We can be on your team. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management, and you can know the difference in person. Did want to remind you about a very cool event that we have coming up on April 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. And I think this is the first time we're going to be there at Aspen Sky Winery and Distillery in Slinger. Maybe you've driven past it before. Dinner, refreshments, and of course there's a theme too, because we like to guide you. The art of giving. There is an art to it. Tax savvy strategies for greater impact. You can discover how to maximize both your charitable impact and your tax efficiency under the new One Big Beautiful Bill Act. It's still pretty new. Maybe you've seen the impact of that with your recent tax filings, and maybe you want to plan ahead for next year's filing. And one of the fine folks here, one of the experts that's going to be there on April 30th, certified financial planner, senior wealth advisor, Mike Kirk. Mike, what can people experience April 30th in Slinger?
Really, the whole point of this is twofold, Joe. it is important, we believe, to be vocal and be advocate to our clients as far as showing them a way, a path to help them save money on taxes, right? And if your ambition is to help a community and to help the charities that are supporting a community that make it different than communities that don't have these sort of endeavors, this is an event that you want to join us at.
So if I'm looking at my portfolio and I'm thinking, well, how much money should I take? Is there a minimum? Obviously, there's not a maximum, but is there a minimum that I should be thinking about?
The important thing here is that we always start with a plan. And in our planning process, this is the scary part, is we can show you exactly how much money or buying power your money has with or without the erosion of taxation around it. And that's why we want to say, come join us. We have wine. We're going to have some bourbon there as well and some great food. It really comes down to, what do I want to do with my money? What is the purchasing power of this, and how do I not let it erode? Bring an open mind. Learn about what's happening in the community, in your backyard, all around Washington County. There's quite a few things happening there. We're going to have a few spokespeople there representing them. We're going to give you some ideas as far as how to start. What we don't want is anyone to freeze into, I don't know what to do next. So we're there to really talk about how we will guide families and how we have guided families in the past to move certain pieces on the chessboard of their financial plan that really maximize their impact. It's a fun, fun experience. And if these are ideas that have been either rolling around in your mind and you're looking to become more astute about it, this will help you sharpen that blade so that you can find out how to maximize everything that is your endeavor.
This is April 30th, Aspen Sky Winery and Distillery. Like Mike was talking about, there are going to be beverages, there's going to be food, and it is free. And you want to make sure you secure your spot at annexwealth.com. Click that events button. Now, if I'm thinking, well, I have my own questions, I have a few, but I might get there and I might think, I forgot what my questions are. What should people come prepared with as far as questions? What have you heard from clients? What should people think about?
Yeah, as far as preparation goes, a lot of this is focused around tax and tax strategies. So we all just filed our taxes. We're all either waiting for that refund or begrudgingly writing that check for what we owe the government. And that's fine. So while that's fresh in mind, think about what your situation is today. And if you want to be prepared to ask questions specific to tax around what you can do, we will be there. We'll have the experts there to help begin those conversations with you, as well as give you some new ideas. Some maybe you have heard of, and some maybe are completely foreign to you, but they are on the table. And if you don't know about these and you're not getting this sort of insight from your existing relationship, or you just don't want to Google this anymore, come join us. It is the first step in a journey that we like to think about as planners that we help families get through.
And maybe people aren't happy with the communication or the service they're getting right now, or you're sick of doing it alone. We hear that from people a lot, especially if you have a business, the business is growing, or thinking about a business sale. These are things that we can help you with. Certainly if you own a business, tax savvy strategies, and things are always changing too. Of course, a lot of talk about the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that came out in 2025 and how it applies to what you're doing right now. So you probably have a lot of questions. This is a place where you can start. A lot of people say, I don't know where to start. Well, we have the Get Started button at annexwealth.com, but this is an opportunity for you to kind of talk to people in person. Certified financial planner and senior wealth advisor, Mike Kirk from Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Joe.
He'll see you April 30th, Aspen Sky Winery and Distillery in Slinger. There's still spots available, but get your spot soon. Click events at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Eight more in-person events this past week with big turnouts. So thank you if you've joined us. So we'd love to see you in person. Love to see your questions too with this webinar. The Instant Insight Series continues, the Fed and the markets. That is this Wednesday, April 29th, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. How the Fed's announcement might affect your retirement plan. Ways to stay informed and trust your financial plan. Taking your questions live with Dr. Brian Jacobs. Jacobson, our chief economic strategist. That's going to be a big day for you. And there's lots to talk about. I feel like the Fed is almost, should I say, like reality TV?
It has been. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And now I guess they could do the reality TV perhaps with like sock puppets. Wouldn't that be kind of fun to see?
Bring up sock puppets. That's quite the interesting thing, because not only did the new nominee talk about ways to communicate better, but also he doesn't want to be a sock puppet.
That's right. And I don't think he will be. I was thinking more in terms of, will he be a lap dog? Because I love dogs. And he won't. I think that he's going to be very independently minded. And when we look at what is likely to happen at this upcoming meeting, so on April 29th, the policy statement comes out at 1 o'clock Central Time. Okay, so that's what we kind of dig through as far as, did they hike rates? Did they hold? What's the rationale? And then we wait 30 minutes for the press conference. And that's where Chair Powell, and maybe in the future it's going to be Chair Warsh, they go to the podium and then they start answering questions, give a little bit more detail. The fascinating thing could be going forward, right? It's up to the chair if he wants to have those press conferences. So if a Chair Warsh decides that the Fed is communicating too much, that they're saying too much, is he really going to want to do these press conferences after every single meeting, or maybe every other meeting instead?
Does that affect things differently if he communicates less, if our Fed chair isn't telling us enough?
I think it could. So we've been talking about that on our team as far as what might that mean. And so what we've done is looked at some of the data as to Fed communication style and how does that relate to volatility in the markets. And as you'd probably imagine, a lot of times, if the Fed is communicating a lot, the market moves on what they say, which can be well in advance of the meeting itself. Whereas if they're not saying as much, then it's about what happens on the day of, as far as when they actually make the policy decision and you get that type of action. And so it can almost like kind of condense a lot of the volatility into that day. We're thinking that this could actually create a bit more volatility in the interest rate market. So from an investing perspective, we think that it's really interesting to think about different strategies. For example, you know, we have the capabilities where you can invest in mutual funds, exchange traded funds that are in fixed income, in bonds, but you can also buy the individual bonds themselves. And so maybe it's going to be a bit more attractive to some types of investors if they can, to better stomach some of that volatility.
It's almost like there's pluses and minuses to communicating more or less.
There is. There's trade-offs.
We're going to be out in Slinger, the Art of Giving, tax-savvy strategies for greater impact. That is this coming Thursday. Going to be at the Aspen Sky Winery and Distillery. Discover how to maximize both your charitable impact and your tax efficiency. Click events, annexwealth.com. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. I want to remind you about our new Women in Wealth page at annexwealth.com and the new Women in Wealth podcast with special guests and strategies to empower women and gain greater confidence. And Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economic Strategist, speaking of confidence, people heading into or planning for retirement or people in retirement are not so confident these days.
Yeah, unfortunately not. So the Employee Benefit Research Institute, it's a nonprofit. They've been studying this for quite a long time. They said 61% of surveyed workers are confident that they'll have enough in retirement. So this is people who are working, right? So thinking ahead, how confident? It's down from 67% not too long ago. So it's moving in the wrong direction. If you think about the key drivers behind that. People are, of course, concerned about inflation. Then they're also concerned about just the programs themselves, these entitlement programs. Are they going to be around when they're the ones who are supposed to be receiving the benefits?
Just start taking a look at your portfolio. What can people do? How can Annex help with that confidence?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is just in terms of almost a reality check. People are very concerned about the high cost of living and with inflation. You might not have an expectation of what inflation is going to look like. Can you build a plan where you think out different scenarios about what if, right? What if inflation is higher, lower? And it depends upon your lifestyle too, because if you travel a lot, obviously your you're concerned about inflation from, you know, airline fares. If you do a lot of cooking at home, it's more food at home. If you eat out a lot, it's food away from home. These all are different things that have different historical experiences with inflation. So that's part of it, I think, is just to really sit down and maybe map it out as far as, okay, let's, instead of worrying about it, let's look at the data, let's look at the numbers and do some of these stress tests. Another is to also, I think, consider that a lot of Americans, and depending upon the source that you look at, anywhere from like, you know, 25% to 40% of Americans who are in retirement are only living on their Social Security checks. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can have more confidence if you consider some of those other resources that you have as well, like your IRAs, your 401ks, your pensions, right? Is it possible to do a part-time job? So I think that how confident you are in terms of being able to have enough resources in retirement will depend upon how dependent are you going to be on those entitlement systems.
And I think a lot of it depends on your age, too.
Yeah.
I got a big birthday coming up at the end of the year, and should I be thinking about retirement? Of course, it's never too early to start planning for something like that. But as you get closer and closer, maybe your confidence starts to drop.
It could. We want it to increase as time goes on. So you'll be turning 21. So obviously, you know, you have a long runway ahead of you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to start planning early. Yeah.
That's right. That's part of it. Plan early. So this, you know, retirement planning isn't just for people in retirement. It's not just for people who are near retirement. It is for everybody. Believe it or not, I'm having my son do some retirement planning by when he's working. Can we contribute to a Roth IRA to start putting that money away for him such that it makes it a little bit easier so that as he's getting closer and closer to that retirement date, he has more confidence, not less.
When you have questions, especially when it comes to your money and where it's headed, having someone ready to answer those questions can make all the difference. I know I always have a lot of questions. We're here for you. You can hit the Ask Annex button too at annexwealth.com. Click the Get Started button. We got all kinds of buttons for you. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Required minimum distributions can trip up even experienced retirees. And the consequences can be costly. So some small oversights with timing, taxes, and account types can quickly turn into unnecessary penalties or maybe even higher tax bills. So knowing where mistakes commonly happen can help you keep more of what you have worked so hard to save. Drew Powell has seen this. He is an associate wealth manager here at Annex Wealth Management. Let's talk about the RMDs, the required minimum distributions. What are the most common RMD mistakes you see, sometimes even with well-prepared retirees?
One of the biggest mistakes that I see, even among people who have saved really well throughout their careers, is simply waiting too long to start thinking about these required minimum distributions and get a plan in place. A lot of people don't start planning until they actually reach RMD age, and by then, some tax-saving opportunities may have already slipped away. For example, early retirement can be a great window to do Roth conversions, moving pre-tax dollars out of a retirement account and into a Roth IRA. This would then shrink down the future RMD amounts and potentially decrease the amount of taxes owed over your lifetime. One other big mistake can be only taking the bare minimum once RMDs begin. With some strategic tax planning, it can sometimes make sense to take more than just the required amount, pay the taxes up front, and then have lower RMDs in the future.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the timing. Why do timing errors around these RMDs create such big tax problems sometimes?
Timing's really important when it comes to RMDs. You know, if you miss that deadline, which is typically December 31st, end of year, the IRS can hit you with a penalty of 25% on the amount you should have taken. You might be able to get that down to 10% if you fix it within a two-year time frame, but either way, that's a significant penalty that can be avoided with some organization.
Organization key right there. And sometimes the RMD rules change when somebody inherits a retirement account. Where do people get tripped up when it comes to that?
This is important, as inheriting a retirement account can result in much different RMD requirements depending on a variety of factors such as who you inherited it from, how old they were, when you inherited the account, and what type of retirement account it was. And where people can really get tripped up is that RMDs for inherited retirement accounts are are often treated differently than accounts that have always been in your name. For example, under the Secure Act 2.0, and depending on those different factors, you could potentially be required to take an annual RMD and withdraw the full account balance within 10 years while paying income tax on those distributions.
And then the RMDs are pushing you into that higher tax bracket.
Yeah, so RMDs are added on to your other taxable income for the current year, which can sometimes create a jump into a higher tax bracket. With that jump, we can potentially see some other unwanted consequences, such as making more of your Social Security taxable, increasing future Medicare premiums with IRMA surcharges, and even increasing capital gains taxation within a taxable account. So although required minimum distributions are in fact required, it's worth getting a plan in place that you can make the most out of this requirement, ensure that you understand the implications, and potentially save you some money in the long run.
Understanding can make all the difference, and we can certainly help you with that here at Annex Wealth Management. And so what might be some smarter ways people can handle the RMD money once it comes out?
First is incorporating it into your retirement income strategy and supplementing your other income sources. Although with that being said, just because you have to take it out of the retirement account doesn't mean you have to spend it. You can reinvest that money. For example, you could utilize a brokerage account and allow that money to continue growing for you. One other very important method that often gets overlooked, if you are charitably inclined, is using qualified charitable distributions, or QCDs, to donate to a charity directly from your retirement account. This counts towards satisfying your annual RMD and is also not included in your taxable income if you qualify and if it's done properly.
So if there's an organization that you're passionate about, we can certainly help you help them and in turn maybe kind of help your situation as well. And how should retirees be thinking about RMD strategy as tax rules and rates continue to evolve? Because we see headlines and there's all kinds of noise in the news, and what should we be looking at?
Yes, as you said, tax laws are consistently evolving and changing. And what's important here is your RMD strategy should evolve with those changes. As an example, there's currently a temporary senior deduction for people 65 and up, which can be up to an extra $12,000 as a deduction for married couples filing jointly. If you qualify, that might be a great time to take a larger distribution or even convert some of those pre-tax dollars to Roth while those rules are in your favor. So, you know, looking through a forward-looking tax plan and tying that in with your goals is a great way to be ready for those opportunities as they arise and as tax laws continue to change.
A lot of different strategies to take a look at, and why not talk with somebody who's seen a lot of different situations and a lot of different portfolios. Great stuff, Drew, Associate Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Drew Powell, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Joe.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, we just realized it's been 20 years of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano, you've talked about a lot of highlights in the economy over the years, two decades.
Yeah, so we've been doing the show, Annex has been doing the show for 20 years, and of course, there's a lot that has happened, and I can remember all of these years back as we would go to the studio and do the shows on Saturday mornings, and it'd be breaking news. So there'd be times that we would have to stop the show to do breaking news, and especially as we got into 2008, as you remember, was the great financial crisis. And the bank failures would be announced on Friday night. And so on Saturday morning, it was unfortunate, but we'd have to talk about the bank failures every Saturday morning during 2008 and into 2009. So that was pretty traumatic time some 20 years ago. But we've had great guests along the way. There was a lot of folks that we had brought in over the years, and they were really engaged and engaging. And so, yeah, it's been great. Thanks to the folks who have been listening for 20 years. A lot are our clients, and this is an opportunity for us to talk to them as well.
Yeah, and you know, we post a lot of our content now, and thanks for interacting with us on social media, too, or other podcasts. This show is also a podcast. As soon as it's done, at the top of the hour, The Wealthiest Podcast, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America, SWOT Podcast, that's a new one every Monday morning, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, and our new Women in Wealth Podcast featuring special guests, speaking of guests, helping to empower women of all ages through genuine conversations. You can find all of that at annexwealth.com. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson also here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, Brian, one of the questions I'm getting most often from clients is, you know, we've had this rally. And when I say to folks that during this rally, which has been pretty significant, that the price-to-earnings ratio has actually gone down, that really the eyebrows go up.
Yeah, they're like, how on earth can that happen where the market is going up and how can the price-to-earnings ratio then go down? Because it's a ratio, right? You think, well, if the price is going up, that's on the top of that ratio, you would think that for a given level of earnings, that ratio should be increasing. But that is really, I think, the nub of it. The earnings, what goes in the bottom, those have actually, over the last year, been rising faster than what the prices have. And if we kind of just think about year-to-date, what's been happening, S&P 500 is up probably, you know, close to like 5% or so. But yet earnings expectations have increased even more than that, right? So we have expectation was for about 13% earnings growth over the last year. We're coming in at closer to a 15%. Maybe 16% earnings growth, depending upon who you ask. And that's one of the things that can oftentimes drive the markets over the long term is what are those fundamentals? What are those earnings? Now, for some perspective, you were talking about looking back 20 years, the PE ratio based upon the Bloomberg numbers for like expected next 12-month earnings. Back in 2006, the PE ratio was about 16. Today, we're at about 21. Might seem elevated, but it's actually down from some of the peaks that we had over the last few years. Plus, the mix of what's really the biggest companies in the market has changed dramatically over time. 2006, you had some, you know, banks, you had General Electric, you know, some of these big companies. Now it's all these tech companies. So the composition of the market has changed materially over the years, and you kind of have to keep up with that.
And then you really look at those top companies, and that had changed, as you said, 20 years ago. And by the way, if you went 20 years back, they were a whole new set of companies as well, which is the reason why you see a lot of the Dow Index begins to change, is because the composite changes of the companies that go in it. There's tech companies that didn't exist 20 years ago that are now part of the S&P 500 and some of the biggest companies. But the other point I'd like to point out, even though that when people point to the S&P 500 PE ratio being over 20, we have to remember what interest rates have done. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds about risk premium, but I think it would be good to explain what has happened with interest rates and why that's being supported.
Very good point. So there is this thing called, people used to call it the Fed model, the idea that how is it that we can justify what the price to earnings ratio is? And one of the ways that you can look at it is, well, what's the alternative, right? You could be investing in bonds. And so if you look at the yields on bonds, government bonds, so that difference could be considered like maybe an indicator of are things overvalued or not. Well, we had this long period of time of very low interest rates, and that tended to push up that PE ratio. Kind of makes sense because, you know, it's like, well, why would you want a 0%, 2%, you know, bond when you could be investing in a business? And so those changes in interest rates affect the price to earnings ratio. I look back at some of the longer term data, like where were interest rates in the 1970s, 1980s, and even 1990s, right? It was normal to have interest rates well above 4, 5, 6%. And now, you know, we're kind of pulling our hair out when we see, wow, look at mortgage rates are above 6%.
Right? Yeah, but you put it in perspective. And if you go back even farther, and you know, and we have this chart here where interest rates have gone, it looks just like a big mountain, right? So post-World War II, interest rates were low. They began to continually climb up till around 1979, 1980. Everybody will remember those days in inflation rates. And then turned around and started to go back down until we just had the great financial crisis and flattened out there for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Now they're kind of poking back up again. Now, we don't think it's going to go back to that big mountain again over the next 80 years, but historically, you can see what has happened. You had an equity bull market and a bond bull market as well.
Yeah, the fun thing is to look at some other data, especially from the United Kingdom. They have very good data going back to, you know, like the 1000s. And you can see that what they would call a secular decline in interest rates. It used to be that it was like, okay, it's going to be like, you know, 5% or somewhere between 5 and 10%. You get to the 1970s because of that inflation. That's what really, I think, drove those interest rates higher. Now we've been on the other side of where that's beginning to slide down. I don't think we're going to go back to a period where we have the persistently high inflation close to double digits. It's elevated now, but just because it's elevated now doesn't mean it's going to be elevated forever.
Let me throw a softball to our chief economic strategist. What should people do with all of this information?
Well, that's a great question. I would say that that's why you want to work with a professional. There is a lot of information, and how do you process it, right? You have your life to live. You want to enjoy yourselves. We enjoy doing this. This is what we do. We love serving our clients by helping them think through things, build that financial plan, and then build the portfolio to support the plan. So one of the key things that we really want to look at with some of those projections with your financial plan is in terms of what is inflation likely to be, and to stress test the portfolio or the plan against different regimes for inflation. What if it's higher? What if it's lower? And try to have that portfolio that's adaptable, but fits and supports that long-term plan.
Mock projections, something we love to do for clients here at Annex. Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. The podcast is ready right now on the radio. If you missed some of it, or the radio station website, just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Kraus. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.